Welcome to the To The Point podcast. Now here's your host for To The Point, John Brake.
Thank you for joining us for episode 22 of To The Point. I'm John.
I'm Kelly.
And today we're talking about hope in the dark. We're going to kind of go through some discussion on this new series that we're getting ready to head into as a church and kind of what it means for you watching or listening, us as pastors. Anybody that listens to this can get something out of it. So we're excited to be in the room talking again.
Absolutely. You know, this the series, Hope in the Dark, is one I've been just kind of feeling led that we need to do as a church because we have a real crisis going on right now in our country. Now, when we talk about the crisis in our country, most people hear COVID-19.
Or the election.
Or the election, either way, yeah. Pandemic, either way, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But there is another crisis that's pretty significant that we need to look at, and that is the mental health crisis that's associated most likely and honestly with both of those things. And no jokes at all. We have a lot of brokenness right now in our country because there's a lot of fear being spread about the virus. There's a lot of, whether you agree with them or not, rulings, mask mandates, all these kind of things that are going on. And we're not here to debate whether we should be doing that or not doing that. We're here to talk about the realities of what that does to us, what our quarantines are doing to us. Yeah. Because let's just put this in real life terms here in the Clead County. Right now, the last number I heard yesterday was we've had 14 fatalities, and that is very serious. Every one of those is a tragic loss, and we should take precautions to guard those who are vulnerable. But we've had twice as many suicides and overdoses, actually more than twice as many suicides and overdoses by a long shot. The last number I heard on that, and that was a few days ago. And so I know what the COVID thing is because we update everybody every day on that.
Right.
But the suicides and overdoses, it's over 30, like 31, 32, 33, somewhere in that area. And that was that information didn't even take into account the weekend. And it doesn't take into account other means of taking your life that might not get categorized in that category. And so when we're looking at this, we're looking at a significant health crisis, mental health crisis. And this is why we need to talk about this in the church. Mental health is a health issue. We got to start looking at this in the right light, particularly in the biblical light. Let's just be straight with some things, guys. Read the book of Psalms, David's book. He wrote all those beautiful, wonderful Psalms. And in my master's group, we said, hey, David might be bipolar. I mean, he's up and down all over the place. And you know, one minute he's, God, where are you? And the next minute he's as close as God she could possibly be. And it just seems crazy. Well, that's honestly pretty normal spectrum of emotion for most of us. Yeah, we can see different people in the scripture, including Jesus, going through very difficult spiritual and mental health struggles. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was under such strain that he sweat great drops of blood. I mean, think about what's going on there physically, mentally, spiritually in that moment. So how do we address mental health issues within the church? Part of this is what we're going to be talking about in Hope for the Dark, but I'm so thankful that scripture and the way God has called us to live, he gives us some guidelines that we should follow.
Yeah.
Not because they're the rules. We have to understand we can do the right thing because it's the right thing, but not because we're trying to grow from that, not because we're seeking God's best in that, but we're just doing the right thing because we're checking off a box and not get the growth that God wants.
Yeah.
Part of what we got to do is look at scripture and say, okay, I'm trusting that this is the right thing, and not only that it's just the right thing, but it's the best thing. That's something we have to be able to look at ourselves and look at everybody around us and say, all right, I'm living the life that God has for me, and it's the best life. I'm trusting that God has a deeper plan for this. And so we're just going to talk about a few things today in the podcast, and then for the next 3 weeks or so here at church at Life One. If you're listening to this right here in this, was it the second week of October or something like that? Maybe it's the third week. I don't know. It's the 13th.
It's the 13th.
We're recording this on the 13th. It's coming out on the 14th. The next few weeks, if you're listening to this soon after it's published, We're going to be talking about some of these issues. This is also a great thing for you to come and check back on if you find yourself in a deep, dark situation. The series is called Hope in the Dark. There's a series from Life Church. Craig Groeschel wrote a book called Hope in the Dark.
Great book.
Great book. I recommend it. Short read. Awesome book. But we just feel like that in the darkness that our world brings us, that's exactly who Jesus is. He is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overwhelm it. And so what about the light that he continues to shine in our lives? The answer to these issues is not simply just have more faith, and it's not simply just read your Bible. Those things are important to us, but it's also, let's do some of the things God tells us to. Let's look at some of the admonitions that God gives us in Scripture and take them very seriously. And one of the first things I want to talk about is the fact that we need to question the quarantine. Now, what I'm not saying is buck against authority. Okay. I'm not saying that at all, but here's the reality is that a lot of us, when we get into these dark situations, maybe we're depressed or we're discouraged or whatever. What we do in those situations is that we just back out, we back away. And that's not just something that we don't know. I don't want to get ahead of myself. There's a difference between isolation that's unhealthy and healthy retreat.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
The difference is one is about going more deeply into yourself, and the other is about going more deeply into God.
Right.
Jesus went away over 25 times in Scripture to be alone. We know that. We don't know if he was alone for an hour, 15 minutes. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I got four kids at my house. Sometimes it's nice just to be alone for 15 minutes.
Right.
And that can be a wonderful retreat. We don't know if it's for a few days. We know he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. That was definitely one of those retreat times. But when we look at this, we need to question anytime we feel like we're isolating from anyone, especially if we're isolating from God. And so if we feel like, hey, I'm just not connecting with God in prayer like I should be, all right, let that be a warning sign for you. Let that be a check engine light for you. And that's when we need to bring somebody in. I love it. Proverbs 18:1 says this, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire, he breaks out against sound judgment. Dwayne Deskins, one of my mentors, he paraphrases that same verse when he says that he who isolates rages against wisdom.
Wow. Yeah.
And that I'm like, wow, that makes sense. Because when we find ourselves again isolating, that is pouring more deeply into us, we get ourselves into some pretty big trouble. Whenever you're in isolation, you're far more vulnerable to attack. Now, I don't know if you grew up watching Mutual Omaha Wild Kingdom.
No.
But I did. And that was like the big show. I loved cartoons as a kid, but I wanted to watch Wild Kingdom. That was an awesome show. And if you watch nature shows, you've seen the same thing. But what I can remember vividly, you know, you had these herds of all these like wildebeests or gazelle or whatever going across the Serengeti, and you'd see this pride of lions. And the pride of lions never just attacked randomly the whole herd. What did they do? They looked for that one that was by itself. Mm. And a lot of times that one that was by itself may have been weaker. It may have been older. It may have been younger. It doesn't matter what the descriptor was. I'll tell you what it was. It was vulnerable. And whenever you isolate yourself, it makes you more vulnerable to attack. It's just, right. It's just the way it is. And here's why you're vulnerable. Number one, it tends to influence your own negative thoughts. You put yourself in an echo chamber where your opinions on whatever's affecting your life become the absolute solid truth. And that may not be so. Have you ever had a situation in your life where you thought something was absolutely right and absolutely true, and then the facts told you something different later? I have.
Yeah. I think we all
can relate to that. We all have. And whenever you isolate, you never have that opportunity for the facts to shine light into the story.
Right.
You know? Here's just a little example from me. I have been having problems with my hand before I hurt myself with the saw. I've been having problems with numbness and pain and no sense of feeling in my hand whatsoever. And in my head, I thought, hey, I've had this problem before. It's got to be an issue with my neck, because I played football through college and everything. And so I've had this issue in the past. Go to the chiropractor, get popped. So we went to the chiropractor. Hey, Doc Hayes is my chiropractor. He's awesome. Just in case anybody want to know, he did a great job aligning me. And I thought, well, there's got to be something deeper in my neck. I don't know what's going on. I went to this special massage therapist to take care of this issue, still having the problems in my fingers. Man, I was stuck in this train of thought that said, this is what the problem has to be.
Yeah.
And then I went to a doctor who specializes in understanding how the nerves flow in my body. And they did some tests and they x-ray and they said, guess what? Your neck's perfect.
Yeah.
And in fact, going through all those things, my neck was never, it hasn't been this healthy in 20 years. But I had another problem. Now, I was listening to my own thoughts and my own feelings, my own opinion of what it was.
Yeah.
I wasn't talking to the right people. In a way, I had isolated myself.
Yeah.
And because I isolated myself, I stayed in this situation where I had no feeling in my hands. I had this, the only feeling I had was pain in my hands. I had it for probably three times longer than I should have had it.
But when you, and when you sought out the counsel that you needed.
But it was the last counsel I wanted to go to.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, I don't need to go talk.
That's usually where wisdom's at.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, I don't need to go talk to that doctor. I know my neck. I mean, I know me. I've got this figured out. It's this is the football injury for 20 something years. And this is what we've done in the past. But then it wasn't working.
Yeah.
It's because Doc Hayes aligned my neck. It wasn't an issue with my neck. It was another issue that I wasn't aware of. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that's exactly what happens when we isolate. We just kind of get in that echo chamber. We reinforce a negative thought, or it may not be like super, super negative. It may just be untrue.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime we start listening to things that are untrue because they fit what we want to believe, we get in a really bad place.
Yeah.
It never takes us where we want to be. The directions, no matter how appealing they be, if they are inaccurate, will never lead us to the destination.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's, and that, unfortunately, you know, something that we can kind of get stuck in. It cripples our accountability. If you don't have someone saying every once in a while, hey, what's going on here in your life? I think you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have somebody in your life that you're accountable to, that whenever they say, how are things going in your marriage? You guys doing okay financially? Someone that has the permission and the ability to ask you these questions, and you be honest with them, not just give them the answer that you think is going to be best for you in this moment. You know, I've mentioned Dwayne already in this podcast, but Dwayne is somebody that is for me. You know, and Dwayne will say, hey, how are things with you and Bridget? And when he says that, he's not making small talk.
Right.
He says, he's asking because he cares for me. How's your marriage, Kelly? How is your wife? How is she dealing with the crazy hectic schedule with your kids and the church and everything else going on? Are you guys taking time to work on your relationship? That's what he's asking me. He's not in it for chit chat.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that. And so when he asks a question, I got to give him an honest answer. And if I say, we've just been too busy to do a date night, he'll have some grace and go, you know what? I understand that. Make it happen. You know what I mean? So you got to have that accountability, because having somebody in your life that can keep you accountable is so vital. Proverbs says that an enemy multiplies kisses. You know, the wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. We need those wounds from a friend from time to time.
Yeah.
And we will not get them if we spend our time trying to avoid them.
Yeah.
And we can avoid them in a lot of ways. You can be isolated in conversation with somebody. You can be isolated in a crowded room. In fact, kind of a crazy thing. I looked at some statistics about this. In June 24 through 30, the CDC found that there was these high levels of anxiety and depression, alcohol use and drug use all increased exponentially. And they compared those numbers to 2019. It was even higher than 2019, which makes sense because of all the craziness in 2020, right? I mean, 2020 has been a dumpster fire of a year. That's pretty clear. But what's crazy is when you look at some of these issues that have sought up, what is it that's made it so bad? I mean, yeah, we know that about the virus, but I'm going to tell you, it's the isolation that the virus has brought with it that's caused a lot of the problems. A study by Cigna in 2018 found, they studied over 20,000 adults in the United States, and over half of them said that they are either sometimes or always feel alone, even when they're with people, that they feel like there's no meaning in those relationships. And so here you have this massive number of adults who say, always or sometimes I'm alone, even though I have people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to tell you, there's two things with that. Now, if you're the introvert, please hear me. I'm part of your tribe. You may not believe that, but I am. I'm an introvert. My wife is an extrovert. That's one of the differences between us. But we make the decision to make connection.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, you can look at it and say, well, some people just make connections easier than I do. Yeah. Some people walk easier. My brother walked like 2 months earlier than I walked when we were kids. That didn't keep me from learning how to walk.
Yeah.
You have to learn how to do some things, and you are made for relationship. You don't have to be in great relationship with everybody, but you got to have some relationships. But these people found that this loneliness was huge. And here's why that is so dangerous. A study done in 2019, published by the American Journal of Epidemiology, found they studied 580,000 adults and found very consistent results that said this social isolation, this loneliness factor, this thing that is one of the big reasons I feel like 2020 has been such a bad year. Yes, the virus has caused this, but we have told everybody, stay away from people. Don't touch. Yeah. Don't be connected. We've said social isolation, or social distance, not physical distance. And so people have stayed away. And instead, what they've connected to is social media, which is full of all kinds of negative things. It increases our anxiety and depression. It's the perfect storm of trouble. And this is what the data says, is that social isolation increases the risk of premature death for every cause, for every race.
Wow.
Every cause,
across the board,
every race. Wide sweeping. This is a human being issue. God made us for connection. So when you read in Scripture, when God says in Hebrews, don't forsake the gathering of the saints.
Right.
It's not just go to church to make your pastor feel good. It's not about that. It's about God's very best for you, because he designed you to need this connection.
Right.
Yeah. Now let's talk about this, because I respect people who are willfully keeping themselves physically distant because they have someone in their life that's vulnerable. And we don't want to make them feel like there's something wrong with them, whether it's pariahs or anything like that, not at all. But I'm going to tell you, if that is the situation that you're in, then you need to work doubly or triply as hard to make sure you're finding that connection.
Right.
Because this is in Scripture. This is the American Journal of Epidemiology, and it says you're going to have a higher risk. And another study done, it was published by BYU, said this: a lack of social connection heightens health risk as much as smoking 15 cigarettes a day or having alcohol use disorder.
That's pretty crazy.
Just being alone, just being disconnected.
And think about the number of people that are alone and involved in those types of things that are already compromising their health.
Exactly. And so what you have within the church, the body of Christ, think about the ways that the church is described. A body. What is your body if it's not a close association of different cells and organs and systems all working together for one goal?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your body doesn't work without connection. I promise you right now, I've got firsthand knowledge. Ha ha.
Left hand knowledge.
That if you sever something in your body, it doesn't work.
Right.
And it's painful to get it back. The other word that the Bible uses so much to describe the church is family. Mm-hmm. Families are not simply, and we know this, and if anybody's in this situation, I'm not trying to be insensitive to anybody, but there's plenty of parents out there who have a biological father, but not a daddy.
Yeah.
You know, so being part of a family is not about who shares the same genetics or DNA, but it's about connections.
Yeah.
Who are we making those connections with? And so here we have this massive, very real social issue that's tied to the very nature of how we're created as human beings. And God says, I want you to be deeply connected to one another, so much so that you see yourselves as brothers and sisters. So much so that Jesus says, hey, you're my friend. I'm not just God to you. You're my friend. I want you to understand deep, deep connection.
I've been listening to this worship song that has really moved me. And I listen to a lot of music, and I hear a lot of songs and a lot of good lyrics, but every once in a while there's a song that just clicks, and the kind of the main line through the song is just so simple, talking about our connection with God, and it says, you are closer than my skin.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
It's just like, man, that's so powerful. Just the idea that connection in even in a physical way is built into our design.
Like, yeah.
It's built into who we are, who God made us to be. And it's not a political statement to say that we need connection with people and we need connection with his church, and we need connection with God. We need connection on all of these levels, mind, soul, body, strength. We need connection. And I don't think that's a political statement at all, although I'm sure there's plenty of people who disagree with me.
but we do need that connection. Again, one of the beautiful things that I've learned through all of this is that it is absolutely possible to have real and genuine connection with people through a Zoom call or through a FaceTime. And I know that not everybody always has access to the technology for that, but if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do.
Yeah.
And I just taught 3 days of a conference. And I taught as a part of that conference, everything was through Zoom.
Yeah.
And you know what? We had powerful conversations. We had real connection with brothers and sisters in Christ from all over America. We have some really amazing things that can happen through Zoom. So I'm going to tell you right now, I think there is absolutely value in physical connection. But if we're in a situation where we can't have it, there's still a way to maintain that emotional and spiritual connection just through using social media in an appropriate fashion, through using Zoom, through using technology.
But doing it in a wise way, in a way that would foster real connection and wouldn't just stoke the fire of, you know, sensationalism and the craziness of the world.
Right.
You know, I think the difference between solitude and isolation is that solitude is active and that we are seeking something and we are pursuing God. And isolation is typically passive, where I'm alone, I'm over here, I'm checked out, I'm disconnected. And I think like when we see Jesus being tempted by Satan in scripture, we see him quoting scripture, although he may have been isolated in air quotes, where he was away and he was apart from other people and he was apart from, you know, maybe where we would find our strength in numbers or whatever. He was very, very much in tune with the Father.
Yeah.
He was very, very much in tune with what he needed to fight.
As an introvert, I need that kind of retreat. I call that retreat. I don't call that isolation. I believe that we can find God in solitude. Sometimes we need solitude to eliminate the noise.
Yeah.
But for me, there's something powerful about healthy retreat. I'm here to tell you right now, as God is my witness, some of the most profound spiritual interactions I've ever had in my life did not happen in a church, but they did happen with me standing in the middle of the stream with a fly rod in my hand. And so people say, well, that's fly fishing. Yeah, it is fly fishing. But in that time, God has communicated with me powerful truths that have altered the course of my life. Mm-hmm. I wasn't seeking the fish. I was seeking him.
Yeah.
But I went through this avenue to get there. And there's this quote by Henry David Thoreau, I think, who says, some people fish for all their lives without realizing it's not the fish they're after. And for me, don't get me wrong, I like to catch the fish.
Yeah.
But for me, what I'm looking for in that time is really that quiet space where I can just let God speak to me.
Yeah. It's beyond the act. It's beyond what you're, you know, whatever you're doing from a hobby perspective. And I think we do a major disservice when we try to separate all these things out into this is some secular thing, this is some sacred thing. And I was watching an interview last night actually with Pete Scazzaro, who wrote all the emotionally healthy stuff, emotionally healthy spirituality. And in the interview, the person interviewing him was talking about how basically before the Enlightenment, before all of this thinking into psychology, which is there's nothing wrong with that, before that, it wasn't separated from our spirituality in any way. I mean, the church fathers and, you know, It was all connected. It was all part of it. It was all about community and all about, and you know, maybe we didn't define some of those things so specifically, you know, this is counseling or this is therapy or this is whatever. But whenever whenever the Enlightenment happened and the thinking sort of changed and a big part of philosophy and a big part of, you know, emotional health and a big part of mental health and all this stuff kind of separated itself. Which is interesting that we're talking about being connected and all of that. When it started disconnecting itself and distancing itself from the church, there's scientific, amazing scientific revelation that has happened. And I would say, you know, through the grace of God that we've seen that even in a, you know, even in a field typically outside of the faith. But when we started to try to treat things without that sense of, well, what is God's place in this? What is our, how does this connect to our spirituality? How does this connect to our soul? Then we see a lot of kind of branch off, split off, you know, this goes over here in the church. Even the perspective became, well, that's woo woo, weirdo, sciencey, you know, like crazy person stuff or whatever. Right. And instead of seeing us as this holistic, no, we're supposed to address this stuff too. Yeah. And we can look outside of our walls to see God's grace manifest in science, in, you know, psychology and sociology and things like that. There's so much to learn that we've sort of, because we've said, no, we're the church and we're over here,
right,
that we write off completely to our detriment.
Right.
And I think I just thought that was an interesting kind of insight, especially if you don't know who Pete Scazzaro is or not read any of those books, you should definitely go check them out. But yeah, it's all interconnected. And when we spend a lot of time trying to decide what is the church's and what is the world's, not that there's not room for discernment. There are things that are clearly not
certainly
meant for us. But when we just sort of blanket statement, put something into a box that it's not supposed to be in, we leave a lot on the table that shouldn't be. We
right.
should use all this stuff. And
yeah.
even if we have to kind of redeem some of it language-wise or whatever. I could go off on a tangent about that for a lot longer, but I just thought that was an interesting anecdote in the interview. It was good stuff. We shouldn't separate that stuff out so much.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think it's important to realize God's place in our lives. And where is God's place in our life? Everywhere.
Yeah.
There's not a place in your life where God doesn't need to have a part.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why this next aspect of isolation, I think, is so important to talk about. And this is, of course, affects believers more than anybody else. Well, maybe not. I don't know. It's that we can have a spiritual isolation. I mean, it's completely possible to attend a life-giving, spirit-filled church and completely miss God for years.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's there.
Yeah.
Even though he's working in and talking to and filling people right next to you.
Oh yeah. I think as you've said that, everybody listening has thought of a time when that's been true in their own lives. I think that's so.
If they didn't, they will now.
Yeah. Yeah. Go for it. It's good. I do really think that it's good to reflect on those things, even if they're difficult, because they remind us of how God has carried us through them.
Yeah.
Where we are now compared to where we were then, or maybe it makes us aware of a state of being that we didn't realize that we're in.
Yeah.
There's so many people that are just locked into that mentality, that place spiritually, because they've just never thought that there was anything more.
Yeah.
They've never considered that church and that connection within the body of Christ was more than just the thing you do on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and again, you're leaving so much on the table that God wants to use to show you, member, person sitting out in the crowd or what have you, that you are a minister too, that you have the same Holy Spirit that anybody else has, that Jesus has, that we've been given to help us deal with life, but also help us to reach and speak into other people's lives for the glory of God.
Absolutely. But there's sometimes we come to a place in our lives where we really just don't want to.
Yeah.
Where things get so difficult where we're like, I just don't have it in me right now to even want to pour into somebody else or to be, you know, even have someone pour into me. Mm-hmm. Because we're just at this place of dryness.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's because of fear. Sometimes it's because of doubt. Sometimes it's because of deep pain of loss. Or sometimes we just feel rejected by God.
Sometimes we're just so busy that we don't even recognize it. We just are in the routine.
Yeah. I remember there were 3 years of our life, and I've talked about this at church before, 3 years of our life as Bridget and I, we were, you know, on staff at a church and going to school and believed we were doing exactly what God wanted us to do and just felt like it was right. But in the middle of all that, we lost both of our grandmothers. We miscarried a baby. And this was just all in a very compressed amount of time. We were broke, but I had saved up some money and I got scammed on eBay. This guy stole my money. We got robbed.
That's how you met Graham.
Yeah. That's how I met Graham. Yeah. Yeah. But then we got robbed, but we had all these, like, in a very condensed period of time, some really intense heartbreak, really intense pain to go through. And there was some other stuff going on. And I was just like, God, I don't even know if I want to see you. I mean, I was in this really hard place, this really dark place. And I was just mad at God. Mad at the church. Didn't really necessarily have a great reason to be. But ultimately, I was just in this place of spiritual darkness, spiritual dryness myself. And in the middle of all that, I can't tell you exactly why I did what I did, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, because I let myself get in those spots. You know, rather than praising God through this, I let myself get there. And I've got so many stories of how God spoke to us in this situation and in this time. I mean, we miscarried our baby on Mother's Day. I mean, of all days. Yeah. And I was just in this bad, bad place. But here's the redemption of that is I realized that if I stayed in that bad place, that I might not ever come out. And that scared me. And so I started to pursue God in a different way than I ever had. People say, well, how do I find God when I'm in the spiritual valley? How do I find God in the middle of a dry time? How do I find God when he just seems like he's so far away? Scripture makes it clear. Draw close to God and he'll draw close to you. That's in James.
Yeah.
Jeremiah says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart. We have to seek him. And so what does that look like? How do we do that? I can tell you it doesn't necessarily involve hiking a mountain in Tibet. What it does involve is the same old stuff that we've seen so many times, the stuff that we take for granted.
Yeah.
It's prayer. It's Bible study. It's taking time to learn how to meditate and to journal. It's not rocket science. But it's almost always the basics that we have to go back to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we live 45 minutes away from the Springfield Cardinals, which is a farm club, a minor league club for the St. Louis Cardinals. And I know you're a big sports ball fan.
Love it. Can't wait.
But here's kind of one of those things. Baseball. I'm not a huge baseball fan myself, but we went to a few of those games. And here I see these players who maybe they've been in a slump. Or maybe they're coming back from an injury. And we're talking multi-million dollar contract guys. I mean, we're talking some of the top tier baseball players in the world. And what did they do when they got into an injury or they got into a slump? They went back down to the minor leagues to work on the basics. Why would we think that we need to do something different spiritually? Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to connect with God, jump into his word.
Yeah.
Psalm 73:28 in the New American Standard Bible says this, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my refuge that I may tell of all your works. That's what you have to do is you have to see the nearness of God is good for me. It is my ultimate good. And so I can't forsake his presence. I can't say that that's not a priority for me. When we particularly get in those dry places, there's reasons we get there. And sometimes it's because God leads us. I'll be honest. Sometimes it's because God leads us there to grow us in those times. Yeah. And we don't want that. But we want the good things. I'll tell you right now, those 3 years, I mean, I left ministry for a few of those years. Now, not completely. I was still doing revivals and retreats and things like that. Maybe I shouldn't have been. Wasn't necessarily living in sin, but I was hurting.
Yeah.
But for those 3 years, God did a work in me. And our church was born in those 3 years. I didn't know it then, but I see it now. And it was born in those times. And so it's understanding that, hey, if I draw close to God through prayer, I can expect that God's going to draw close to me. Mm-hmm. It's saying, okay, I'm going to read God's word, but if it's stale, if I just don't feel like I'm getting something with it, then I need to adjust my approach. And so that's whenever I take time to pray, God, show me what you need me to see. Open this to me. Speak to me as if you are really living yeah. and through this to me today. And sometimes it's simple, something as simple as, you know what, I've been reading the NIV for 10 years and it's time to crack in up in the King James Version or the New King James Version. I need something different to shift my perspective so I can get a fresh word. It's saying I'm gonna read the Message today. Mm-hmm. You know what's all right. For some reason I'm not connecting with my digital device. I'm gonna use an actual printed Bible. They still make them.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, that's
what
this is.
With paper.
Yeah, with actual paper.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't push on it and highlight it.
It is. It's hard to scroll. I mean, what is the joke? We've been scrolling for centuries with the
right
actual scrolls.
But maybe that's the shift. I was going through a thing. You know, I've been for years been discipling guys using YouVersion. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of, I hadn't read a Bible for my own personal fulfillment, like a physical Bible for if not years, it was definitely months, a long time. And I was like, I need to do that. So I shifted. I quit using YouVersion.
Yeah.
And I started reading from a leather bound, good old fashioned Bible. Like this Bible is from 1950 something. And it has a smell to it. There's just something about it that smells real and smells wise.
Yeah.
And so I connect with, I love reading from the, I have many Bibles, but I had to realize I've got to do something to shift this around. I got to do something to help me understand what's going on here and make this better. We have to figure out what those things are.
Yeah. And I think that there's some of it that, like we've said, is some of this kind of Sunday school stuff we've learned when we were kids or we, even if we don't really have a concept of like, what it is from personal experience, we kind of know, like culturally, what that. Well, you pray, you talk to God, you read your Bible, you know, all the stuff. Even if you don't, if you've never really done it yourself, but there's some of it too that is unique to you. Mm-hmm. I think we have to do some of the work to find out how we're wired to respond to certain things. You know, some of it might be you wake up a little earlier, mm-hmm. get outside and feel the breeze on you. It might be stay up after the kids have gone to bed and do that at night because you work a weird shift or something. You know, it's not going to be a one size fits all for me. One of my big things was getting out of my own head about, oh, is it God talking or is it me? And just assuming that God is speaking to me because God is with me.
Yeah.
And like you said, I always go, is it Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Right.
That was a guiding scripture through a similar season of it was a season of doubt for sure. It was a season of complacency, a season of kind of distance and sitting in the chairs or the pews at church and not really looking around like, is this really for me? Like, am I really, you know, getting – anyway, all that ended up with us moving back to Missouri and coming to church here and trying to – figure out my life and get on this journey that has led me here, which I'm super thankful for. And I think it's awesome. But one of the first steps was for me, because I know how my brain works, to get all of my random crazy thoughts and usually fear driven, what if weird scenarios, get them out of my head onto paper.
Yeah.
And then to look at it objectively and say, okay, well, this is clearly God.
Yeah.
And this is clearly not. This is my own fear. This is the enemy trying to do this. And when you look at it, when I look at it objectively, I can start to see God speaking to me through my own, you know, through just my own thought processes of processing through where I'm at.
See, what you're doing in that situation is you're creating hindsight. We can all see God move in hindsight.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes it's years down the road.
Right.
But if you take time to you journal some of the things that, like you just said, you write them down, it creates the hindsight now.
Yeah.
You know, we know the thief is here to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come, Jesus said, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So you write down the thoughts that you're having, you write down the situations you're experiencing, and you say, okay, where's this going down? Is it to the steal, kill, destroy side, or is this the life abundant side?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a very practical way to we talked about this not too long ago, to engage in just practical everyday spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Understand the attack of the enemy and then give yourself to overcoming it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of what this is about. You know, it's how do we draw closer to God? It's by engaging intentionally in these practices.
Yeah.
The practices that Jesus did, the practices that Scripture admonishes to observe. Well, one of the big ones is service. Now, I'm not saying this because we need more servants here at church. We do. But I'm going to tell you right now, so many people pray, God, show me what I need to do. God, help me understand your will. And then they go and they jump into a Netflix tornado and just stay stuck in this void of entertainment and or YouTube or whatever.
Right.
And they don't go out to seek what God would say to them. They say, okay, God, speak to me. You know, that's what they do. They just say, God, I want to know your will. Then they do something contrary to him discovering it. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the best ways for you to understand God's purpose for your life is to go out and start serving in the world. It's one of the most powerful ways because you'll connect with the things that God has made you for. Your purpose will begin to scream to you by the things in the world that you see. One of the most important questions, Andy Stanley, I heard this at a conference when Andy Stanley was speaking. He said, one of the most important questions that you can ever answer is who are you and what breaks your heart? You know, understand who you are in Christ is one of the most important things you can do. And in fact, I just challenged our everybody on Sunday, read Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Understand, read 1 and 2. Go through, understand who you are. Look at that and internalize it and say, this is not who someone else is in Christ. This is me. And once you understand who he is and the fact that he predestined you for and created you to do good works that he created you to do. I mean, so you have a purpose and you always have.
Yeah.
Then how do I find out what that purpose is? Well, what breaks your heart? Is it the poverty of the world? Some people, the thing that just really breaks their hearts is the fact that people are going to go to hell without Jesus and they are even more sensitive than all Christians already are.
Yeah.
But part of it is because they have specific gifts for evangelism and sharing their faith with people. And for some people, there's people that they just don't know how to handle their finances and God's blessed me with a certain knowledge there. And so I'm going to help them because that's going to make their whole life better if they can handle their money better. But I want to serve to build the kingdom, to grow the kingdom, to use the gifts and the passions and the abilities that God has poured into me. We say this all the time. Every member needs to be a minister.
Yeah.
Every member needs to step into that purpose and plan that God has for your life. And here's something else. One of the biggest reasons why we feel hopeless in the world is because we don't know what our purpose is.
Yeah.
Or we know what our purpose is and we've discounted it for something we think is better.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the great lies of the enemy.
Yeah.
You will not live a fulfilling life unless you're living a purposeful life. God has something powerful in that purpose. And when we're living outside of that purpose, we can't walk in the light that God has given us. Talk about hope in the dark. John said, walk in the light as he is in the light.
Yeah.
That's one of the most important things we can learn how to do is to identify the light and then get in it. And that's also a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's I think of two things whenever you're thinking about it. First is like an encouragement. If you don't know, or if you feel like you can't figure out what breaks your heart or where you're at, then ask the question. I always ask this and tell other people to ask it. What's the next right move? What's your next move? Like, if you don't know and you're really not sure and you've never really explored that because you've been, you know, distracted over here or you've just been going down this other path or whatever, just make a move. Where is somebody needed?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just speaking for our church, we need people to serve in every area of the church.
Yeah.
So there's something for everyone and there's the ability for you to try something out and see if God speaks to you through that and see how you respond to that. See if there's some natural inclination, some pull to be there. And if not, there's another spot. You can try on some different, some areas to serve. So some of it is just be in prayer for that specific thing. Maybe your ministry is to pray for the ministry or to pray for the people of the church or the community or whatever. There's all kinds of ways that God can speak to you through that. And then I was just thinking about purpose. You know, a lot of times we overcomplicate our purpose.
You know,
we, you know, love God and love others. And when it's interesting, also heard in that Pete Scazzaro interview, he's talking about that, love God and love others. And he said, it's funny and it's interesting how Jesus works and just how just on a cellular level, he was countercultural because it's just who he is. They asked him for the greatest commandment and he had to give them to.
Yeah.
and the reason that he gave them to, the awesome thing about that is they can't be separated.
Right.
There cannot be distance between those two because not only is it love God and love others, it's to love God is to love others.
Right.
And
it's the classic debate between faith and works.
Yeah.
If you have all this faith in God and you love him, then you will have these works that go with
it. Yeah.
And a lot of times when you have these works, it's because you love God.
Right.
And you can't separate them. So mm-hmm. there has to be two. And it's not because Jesus was trying to just mess with the guy. It's because he understood things at a far deeper level than they yeah. were able to ask questions.
Yeah.
And yeah. that's true for us still today.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we want God to give us a specific answer. So we ask specific questions and God says, no, I'm going to give you the answer you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to be open to
and
that.
And if we're willing to lean into that, then we understand that it's always better than what we thought we wanted.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Well, hey, we probably need to wrap some things up here because I'm sure these people got to work or something today.
It'll be okay. Just turn the volume down a little bit.
Yeah. But no, we're getting ready to start this series, Hope in the Dark. And so here's who needs this series. It's not for everybody. It's only for those people who are breathing. Because if you've already passed, it's right. probably too late. Yep. But this is for you. So invite your friends. If you can't come in person, share the video, share the link, download the app, watch it on your phone, watch it on your iPad, invite a few friends over to your house, have church together there in your living room. We want to encourage you in this time of physical distancing. Let's just use the right term, physical distancing, that you don't have to be socially isolated. You can be responsible. You can find the connection that you need. And we can not only draw closer to God, but we can also draw closer to people because the two can't be separated, just like we just said.
Right.
And so Hope in the Dark, starting this Sunday, at least it's starting, what is this Sunday, the 20th or something like that, or the 18th or somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't have my calendar up. Yeah, I'm going to look it up now.
18th. Yeah, the 18th.
The 18th. October 18th,
the next
few weeks, Hope in the Dark. We're going to be talking about some heavy issues that we need to hear about right now, but it's going to be good and it's going to be encouraging. You're going to walk out encouraged that there is light shining in the darkness.
Right.
And we not only get to follow that light, we get to be that light.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we get to see you here the next few weeks as far as Hope in the Dark.
Yeah. And if you're not sure if you should come or want to come in person because of whatever, we are very much a mask-friendly church. We're very much a proponent of that. Don't feel like you shouldn't be a part of it because you see some people wearing them and some people don't. It's open for you to be here in whatever way you're comfortable.
Yeah.
We want to reach out and let you know that you're accepted how you are.
Yeah.
Come as you are. We say that frequently. And also, I know that it's not going to be tied in directly from the book. We're not preaching the Craig Groeschel book, but it is important. One of the guiding pieces of that book was that God can handle these emotional, these mental, these spiritual cries, this pain, maybe anger that like you expressed earlier, that you had experienced in your life. You know, God can handle that stuff. And the tagline of that book, I think, is so powerful. It's believing that God is good when life is not.
Yeah.
And that is just something that we all need to hear. And this is a time where we lean in to how God has called us to be. We lean into how God has shaped our minds and our hearts and all of that stuff. And then we start to figure out, if we're willing, we can start to figure out how to receive that type of healing and that type of wholeness through Him who brings it. So, if you're listening, watching, whatever, however you consume this content, share it with people, rate it, review it, let us know what you think, send us emails for any suggestions for future episodes to podcast@lifepointlebanon.com, and we will see you next time.
Yeah, see you guys. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the To The Point podcast from LifePoint Church. For more information about LifePoint, visit us on the web at lifepointlebanon.com. Be sure to subscribe and rate this podcast, and be sure to share it with your friends on social media. Thanks for joining us for To The Point.